You know the day destroys the night, night divides the day. Try to run, try to hide, break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side. Break on through to the other side, yeah.
This is WBCR LP 97.7 on your FM dial, broadcasting from downtown Great Barrington in the Berkshire Hills of Western Massachusetts. That was The Doors. And this is Mickey Friedman. And this is The Other Side. There are, of course, many sides and many truths. This show is about some of the other sides of the story. My pick of the many stories out there. No one knows the cost of war more than the families of our soldiers. Lila Lipscomb's son was killed in Iraq. Lila Lipscomb, who is known for her heartbreaking appearance in Fahrenheit 9/11, spoke recently at the National Convention of Peace Action in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you have children about or young people who might be too upset by hearing about this war of ours, now might be a good time to switch the dial.
That's still a really hard scene for me. Because when I hear my son's words say, he can't wait to come home, my son came home in a body too. And the last count, I've been gone, so if it's not right, don't quote me, was 885 mothers that stand before you tonight on this stage asking the same questions. Why? I don't write speeches because I don't like to try to read and remember. And I don't think that I need to have a speech because I lived this. Christmas of 2002 was the last time I saw my son alive. My family was together, and shortly after January, he told me that when he went back home to Savannah, he was being deployed to Kuwait with the specific instructions of going to Baghdad. And if any of you remember anything, there was nothing said anywhere in the United States at that time about going over to Kuwait or Baghdad or anything. My son had asked me not to tell anybody. That was the first time in his 7 years of military career that he had ever spoke those words to me. You see, my son was a seasoned soldier. He wasn't just one of these young kids going in the military today and after AIT getting shipped to Kuwait and to Baghdad and being killed. My son was a lifetime career soldier. When he was 19 years old, he made the decision to go into the United States military because Pops and I didn't have enough money to send him to school. And I suffer today still. We have a 21-year-old daughter that is struggling to get her life together because her oldest brother is dead. And I can't afford to send her to school. And we just got word that apparently there's some new law now that I'm trying to investigate where you can actually only take $2,600 a semester now out on student loans because you see my kids fall through the cracks. We don't qualify for financial aid. There's millions of children in the United States falling through the cracks. Many times the only option that they have is the military. I come from a very long, long line of military people. My family has never been rich. We never had the option of college. When I was growing up, the biggest thing that my mother could have me do was to finish high school. And in my family, that was a great accomplishment. And I was determined that I was going to see a way different for my children. And I did encourage my children to go into the military because I come from a long line of service and duty to this station, the United States of America. I believe in this country. I do wave my flag every single day. I wear my flag on my lapel every single day. I believe that when I cast my vote, it's not out of ignorance. But I have to say that in the past, when I've gone in to make my vote, I did literally just put something because I saw their name on TV. My son is dead. I will never go to my polls ignorant again. We have a daughter that's 31, and she was in the Navy. She went through the entire high school. She finished in 3.5 years, and she was in junior ROTC for 3.5 years. She graduated in December, and for 6 months prior to her graduation, her father and I struggled deeply because we knew she wanted to go into the Navy. She wanted to follow in the footsteps of all of her ancestors, and she was good at it. But if you remember back in the early 90s, in the Navy was not a good time for the young women of America. And I struggled deeply with my child going in and being raped and abused. But my child is as strong-headed as her mother. And she backed me against the wall. So in January, with her barely turning 17 in November, I signed the papers so that she could go into the Navy. And she was in during Desert Storm. And I had the same yellow ribbons on my porch, and I flew the same flag on my front porch. And I said the very same prayers. God, please protect my child and bring her home. And he did. How could I know 10 years later that I would have the same flag flying and the same yellow ribbons on my porch and saying the same prayers? The only difference was I had a United States Army sergeant standing in my home, asking me, was I the mother of Sergeant Michael F. Pedersen? United States Secretary of Defense regretfully informed you. And that's all I remember.
2 days past 18, he was waiting for the bus in his army green, sat down in a booth in a cafe there, gave his order to a girl with a bow in her hair. He's a little shy, so she gave him a smile, and he said, would you mind sitting down for a while and talking to me? I'm feeling a little low. She said, I'm off in an hour, and I know where we can go. So they went down and they sat on the pier. He said, I bet you got a boyfriend, but I don't care. I got no one to send a letter to. Would you mind if I sent one back here to you? I cried, never gonna hold the hand of another guy. Too young for him, they told her, waiting for the love of a traveling soldier. Our love will never end, waiting for the soldier to come back again. Never more to be alone when the letter said a soldier's coming home. One Friday night at a football game, the Lord's Prayer said and the anthem sang. A man said, folks, would you bow your heads for a list of local Vietnam dead? Crying all alone under the stands was a piccolo player in the marching band, and one name Red, and nobody really cared. But a pretty little girl with a bow.
A few months later, my mind started coming back to me, and my children talked to me today about the wail that they heard from their mother that pierced their soul, and they will never ever forget that sound. I'm glad God protected me from that, because the only words that I hear is the United States military regretfully informs you. My son did not come home. My prayers were not answered. Shortly after my son was killed, our youngest son, Howard Jr., had been a junior firefighter for many years, and it was something that he just absolutely adored. I believe in school-to-work programs. I believe in teaching our children that there's many different ways. Not all of us are meant to be the President of the United States of America. So when he wanted to be a junior firefighter, I was elated. Another service. This was a good thing. After his brother was killed, I was in my bedroom upstairs trying to get dressed, and I was so angry at myself. I had one leg in my pants and I couldn't put the other leg in. When a strong woman stands trying to get dressed and she can't dress herself, there's something wrong. And all of a sudden, all these fire sirens started going off in front of my home. My house was rattling and shaking from the sirens pounding through my home. And I couldn't get dressed, and I was struggling, and I fell to the floor, and I finally got my pants on. And I ran out of my bedroom door as my husband, Pops, ran up the stairs, telling me, baby, it's okay, calm down. And I'm screaming, what is going on? My God, what is going on? He took my child, what is going on? And that's when he told me that the entire Flint police, or the Flint Fire Department, had come to my home to pay homage to our youngest son, Howard Jr., in the life of, in dedicating, because his brother had given his life for this country. Those are the kind of things that my family has had since this has happened. April 2nd is not a dream to me, and the words Black Hawk Down is not a movie to me. At Christmas time, when my son was home, in the hallway when we were talking, I had asked him, because I always knew he was a helicopter mechanic, and that was always okay with me. because I'm thinking helicopter mechanics, you stay underground, not. He said, Mom, if you really, really, really want to know what I do, just watch the movie Black Hawk Down. I haven't been able to. I bought it, hoping that it would help me get closer to him. And the plastic is still on it. Can't do it yet. A couple years before, I was sitting in the movie theater with Pops and our youngest daughter, Loreen. The commercials came on, the advertisement, the movie things. And it was an advertisement for Black Hawk Down. I didn't know what that meant, and I cried the entire 2 minutes. And Pops was saying, Baby, what's wrong with you? What's wrong? Are you okay? Are you okay? And my baby girl was saying, Mom, come on, what's up? I didn't know what that was. I stand before you today and tell you that it was my soul that knew my son was going to leave me in a helicopter crash. And my God was trying to prepare me even back then for the tremendous blow that was getting ready to kick the life out of me. Because when you hear those words and someone tells you that your child is dead, your entire being stops. You think about a mule kicking you in the gut and the very life leaving you. That's what happens. It takes a long time to come back. And I wasn't even beginning to think that I was on a journey. And I kept hearing people say, it gets better, it gets better. Mine wasn't getting better. Michael Moore contacted us in December of 2003. He started paying attention, because he's from the Flint area, of how many soldiers were dying from Michigan. And it was eating at his soul. And one of his staff people had found that my family was in Newsweek magazine for the 9/11 anniversary edition. So his office contacted us and asked us if he could come and talk to us about our son. I had no hesitations whatsoever, because I'm still searching for a way to get through my grieving and to be able to put one foot in front of the other. If Michael had not come to my home, I don't know where I would be. A very dear friend of mine, who just happens to be my boss, was there when I got the call asking me to come home, was there when they told me about my son, and has picked me up off the floor more than once because I just couldn't take another step. She always asks me, what is it, Lila, that you need? What do you need? And my only response is, I need to keep going. I can't stop, because I know if I stop, I will literally be under the bed and not be able to come out anymore. When Michael came to my home and I read that letter to him from my son, it brought sense to me. One of the quotes from Billy Graham says, sorry, Pops, I just drew a blank. Courage is contagious. And if one strong spine stands, it helps other spines to be strengthened. And I applaud Michael Moore for being so courageous. If it wasn't for his vision, this would not be here. A lot of people have a lot of things to say about Michael, but there's one thing that they can never say about him. They can never say that he's a liar. Ever. And by him giving me just a little bit of strength, my son's words began to come back and haunt me. And I knew that I had to do something. My nephew, I got word that he graduated last year. Well, this year in June. And he wanted to go in the army like his Uncle Michael. And he went. Could I discourage him? No. Because I have a clear understanding that the United States military is what helped my son achieve what he achieved in life. and it helped him to achieve being the soldier that's going to wake up America. My son was very quiet. He was very reserved, yet he was just a prankster. He was just the ordinary guy next door. He always thought about things. And I started to become very alarmed because when he told me he was going to Baghdad, he shared with me that he was afraid. And as a mother, you have conversations with your child explaining to them that sometimes a little bit of fear is a good thing. It keeps your mind sharp. You don't become lax when you have a little bit of fear. I didn't know my son felt that he wasn't going to come home, because mothers don't allow themselves those kind of thoughts. My son took many steps in preparation to to make sure that when he left this earth, that he had gone full circle, to the point of even at Christmas time when he was home, going and finding some of his old high school friends that he had maybe had arguments with, and literally hugging them so that they could each forgive each other. Did my son know he wasn't coming home? Today I stand before you and say, yeah, he knew. I had found out not long ago that my son wasn't even supposed to be on that flight that night. There was a soldier that was scheduled to fly, and apparently he wasn't up to par. So that just speaks of my son. He volunteered to take the mission so the other soldier could rest. That speaks highly of my child, because that's just what his mother would have done. That's what camaraderie is all about. I pray one day I'll be able to meet that soldier, because God knows I don't want him carrying anything with him. He's dealt with enough in his lifetime just being in Iraq. So if anybody knows him, this mom is looking for him. And I know God will bring him to me. Being in the movie has completely changed my life. But the best thing of all is that it's brought my family back to me. See, because when people grieve, you grieve in different ways. Not only did we lose our oldest son, but we were beginning to lose our oldest daughter. She began suffering traumatically from survivor guilt, because she knows that her little brother used to tell her, if you can do it, so can I. She was in Guam during Desert Storm, by God's grace, pregnant with my oldest granddaughter. So she didn't have to go over there then, but she dealt with all the Agent Orange and the soldiers coming and going. So this last year has been very traumatic for my family. Our son Howard Jr., his wife gave birth to my first grandson. We had all girls, and it was so exciting to have a boy finally. And he was born on February 20th, 2003, my son Michael's 26th birthday. And he was so proud that his first nephew was born on his birthday. We were able to send him some pictures in the last letter that I got from him, where he says, tell Sputnik congrats. We know that he saw the pictures of his first nephew. And I just believe with everything that I am that he had those pictures close to his heart when he died that night. So his first nephew has to grow up without him. And that's not a very easy thing. Howard Jr. has struggled much. He's doing the best that he can to be the best daddy to his little boys, because his brother Michael was the best daddy to his daughter Destiny. And Michael set an example, and he's working hard to follow that example. But he struggles so because Michael was his best friend. And Pops and I just aren't the same. And our youngest daughter, Lorreen, has had severe panic attacks. She gets held into bondages of fear. But she'll be okay. We serve an awesome God. And my God has promised me that he would take care of us. Pops has just been absolutely tremendous. I don't downplay anybody's sorrow or anybody's pain in losing a brother or a sister or a child, but it's different for a mom. You don't carry a child in your womb for 9 months, nurse that child and raise that child, and then have to bury that child. It's out of sync. So I have a pact with my family. None of them can die before me.
I'm
mama, take this badge off of me. I can't use it anymore. It's getting dark, too dark to see. Feel I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, 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 knocking on heaven's door. Mama, put my guns in the ground. I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel like I'm knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door. Yeah, yeah. Knock, knock, knocking on heaven's door.
Fernando Suarez's Jesus was one of our first casualties. Following the death of his son, he traveled twice to Iraq with Medea Benjamin and Global Exchange. Some of you might have had the honor to hear him in Pittsfield last year. Here are excerpts from a recent interview conducted by Jerome McDonnell of Worldview from Chicago Public Radio.
I come in the United States in 1997 for living in San Diego only because Jesus needed to finish the high school for joining to the military system. I am an American citizen. I got my green card in 1988 because I come in and out in the United States, but I never live in the United States. We live in Mexico, in Tijuana, the border San Diego, Mexico. But when Jesus take the decision to join to the Marine Corps, pushed me to change the address, and I sold my home, I sold my business, the laundry, and I working in the social, working for the healthy poor people. It's nothing extraordinary, but I have a good life. And sometimes I working in the other side of the border, in San Diego, San Isidro, for a few months, make the money, I come back my home very easy, no problem. But in 1997, September 1997 is when I put my residence in Escondido, California, San Diego area. When we went to the shopping in San Diego area, the recruiting people is in the shopping center and gathered my son and begin to speak and explain. And the recruiting says, dangerous join to the police department. It's better you come in the Marine Corps, 1 year of the service. You can go to the special force for combat narcotraffic around the world. It's the same, the Michael Moore movie. And this time, Jesus have a... This one is happening in 1995, something like this. 2 years, the recruiting is following my son. It's called, telephone call, Tijuana. When we move to San Diego, the recruiting is every weekend is with my son, buy the lunch, make the present. Is never forget my son and push and push and push, and Jesus joined to the Marine Corps. At this moment, in 1997, I think so. I believe all the recruiting say. I believe in the system. I don't have any reason for not believe when the recruiting say, you can do this one or this one or this one, you can receive a lot of money for college, etc. And I believe put a lot of special attention in the one boy for 2 years or more, is the working with my son, because this is the system. Today, in this moment, I see is a lot of money the recruiting put in the joint to the one boy in the military service. Why? I don't understand this system, really. I feel in the government need a lot of boys in the military for continuing the expansion around the world. Put a lot of efforts, a lot of money in the military system, but not in the education system. And today I understand this one is very dangerous. 10 years ago, the boys can go to the college, university, and pay $1,000. Today, pay $10,000. And 10 years more late, it's possible to pay $35,000. And the people don't have the money. And my son don't need to join to the Marine or military system for go to the college or university. In Mexico, it's free. It's no problem. Jesus is Mexican and I live in Mexico. But the recruiting told Jesus, you're going to receive the best education in the United States in university, and the Marine Corps pay for this one. No worry about. But very late, my son understand this one is the lie. It's not true. The military system pay for the education. The boys pay. Every single month, put $100 in the special saving account for go to the college. It's not free. When Jesus joined to the Marine, the first day is very happy. Jesus believed in what happened over there. And when they finished the 3 month boot camp and come back home, Jesus told me, Father, I am Marine now. I am very proud for this one. But I made mistake. And I don't want nobody in my family join to the military system. It's a lot of lies, a lot of discrimination. Jesus needs live inside for understand the military system is not the way for school or for way for make your dreams. But it's very late for him. Jesus signed for 3 years contract, and he told me, in 3 years I no more in the military, I go to the fire department or police department or something like this. But what happened in 1 year, because Jesus is only in the Marine Corps about the 1 year, 3-4 months, Jesus begin change. The system changed my son. Jesus the regular is very happy boy, very friendly. In October, November, December 2002, Jesus is very quiet, no speak, no play more. It's a little more different every single day. The life in the military. Jesus have information going to the Iraq in January 2003, but not told me nothing. Jesus told me about the go to the Iraq in the last week of January, and Jesus go in February 5 is when the unit mobilizing to Kuwait. I read Kuwait, waiting in Kuwait, and March 20 cross the border is when begin the war. Jesus is the number 5 in fatalities in the war, and is the number 3 the Hispanic in the military system died. He died in March 27, 2003. Ooh, yeah, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, yeah, things will be bright. Things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will be brighter. Someday, yeah, we'll put it together and we'll get it all done. Someday, when your head is much
how things are gonna be. But you just wait and see how things are gonna be. But you just wait and see how things are gonna be. Ooh, child, things are gonna get easier. Ooh, child, things will be bright.
The military give me the official paper, say Jesus died in combat with the enemy fire when received the shot on the head. This one is the government story. I find the truth for different ways, and the truth is this one. Jesus stepped the American cluster bomb, and this one is illegal weapon according to Geneva Convention and UN. The problem is the March 26th, the airplane drops about the 20,000 cluster bomb in Iraq, but only the 20% is explode. 80% is in activity, and it's, say you say, is liner mine. And when my son unit received the order to continue on advancing, no receive any information the cluster bomb is in the area and coming the fatality. I believe the military lie about the real reason for cover the negligency and cover the military use illegal weapon in Iraq. My big problem is this. Mr. Bush sent my son and the other boys because Bush said the Saddam Hussein have illegal weapon in Iraq. And my son died for illegal weapon, but it's American, no Iraqi. What is this? But the people not speak nothing about this one because it's America. And America have authorization for use illegal weapon, chemical weapon, and the other countries no. I don't understand what is the moral about this one. When the military lied the families, what happened to sons, and the other side destroyed the other lives with the illegal weapon or chemical weapon. According to the Mexican tradition, it's very important you put the cross in the same place when the member in your family died. My wife told me, give me a promise, I don't know when, but one day you need go to the Iraq and put the cross in the same place Jesus died. And I say, okay, I say it's impossible to go to the Iraq, it's in the war. But one day, the global exchange people, Medea Benjamin, called me and say, Fernando, I understand you like go to the Iraq. For what? Well, I explained the tradition and I explained, and I need to see the real reason why my boy died in Iraq. I need to see the real happening with the American troops and the civil people in Iraq. And Global Exchange gave me the opportunity to go to Iraq in December 2003. And I visit the same place my son died, and I see the interview with my son 1 week before died with the American television. The reporter called me my home a few days late when I received the information my son died in Iraq and told me, Mr. Suarez, somebody lied you. Your son not died in combat. Your son died in friendly fire. But when I take the decision to go to Iraq, the people from the television call me and say, you lie, I come back to Iraq with you and show the exactly what happened your son. And this man is fly again to Iraq and showed me the place. It's in the Juvania, 2 hours south Baghdad, and explained me exactly what happened with my son this night. And I have opportunity for to see the other side of the war, not only the Fox television show to the American people. No, I see the real face, the war in Iraq. I see the American troops cry because it's in Iraq. I see the Iraqi people cry because the family is destroyed. I see the children in the hospital die because they don't have any medicines. I see the real situation in Iraq. Have about the 5 months when the Mr. Bush in the big show say the mission is complete, the war is over, and the problem in December, the people told me, okay, your president say the war is over, why your troops continuing in my country? and the American boys in uniform told me the same. I don't understand, sir, why continue here. I am Marine, I am Army, or whatever, and it is my job, but I don't understand why I am here. The people is not happy. In this December 2003, I have opportunity to speak with the young people, Iraqi people, students in university. And one girl told me something, and today is a reality. Mr. Suarez, we not call the American people for remove Saddam Hussein. Okay, you troops coming and remove Saddam Hussein. Thank you. But nobody called you. Now, you destroyed my country. You destroyed my life. My brother is dying in the school. My brother have 10 years old only. I don't have any problem with you or your people. But your president not made the freedom country in few times. Be careful. I'm going to take the weapon and I'm going to kill the American troops in the streets. What happened today in Iraq? 1 year late. People in Iraq is attacked the American. The insurgents. It's the resistance. It's defend the country. Guerrero Azteca is the traditional in Mexico culture, in Mexico story, is the Aztec warrior. My son is Mexican, is Marine, is the Aztec, is warrior. When I involve in with the military family speak out, I see the Hispanic people not have representation in the peace movement. It's on the sides only. And I see a lot of military families, Hispanic military families, with the boys in Iraq, is not support the war, but not have a voice in the peace movement. And I feel in the Guerrero Azteca project is the opportunity for Hispanic people join together and working together for defend the American troops and for speak against the war. Today, the Aztec project is working with the inside the high school, focus in the Hispanic areas, education the boys about the other side, the recruiting, not say, about the military system. Guerrero Azteca project is working too with the Hispanic family, with the boys in military, for the help, for defend the rights, the civil rights in military. This one is very important. In the military, the boys lost the civil rights. The boys don't have a free speech right. The boys don't have any right. And the boys say, okay, I don't like more the military, I go in the civil life. No. You sign the contract, you continue here. This one is esclavitude. This one is not a free country. But the military say, we defend the democracy system, we defend the free country, but the boys inside don't have nothing, this one. And we're working for the boys have the rights. A lot of boys in the military in Iraq come back home, and the second time the military call, you need to come back to Iraq again, but the boys say no. And the boys call me or call my organization, and we help legal service for not going to the second time. Maybe you know the story, the Camilo Mejia is the first man in the military refused to come back to the Iraq in the second time. And the other boy in San Diego, Pablo Paredes, is Hispanic. He's today accept more than 6,000 American troops is in Canada or Mexico. But no accept right now how many conscious objector is in the jails for not continuing the war. It's the same situation in Vietnam, but today is more early. In the Vietnam War, the movement is begin 3 years late, 4 years late. Today is in the 1 year the movement is working. It's not easy. It's nothing easy. For going to the high school, the door is closed for me or the other organization. Why? Because remember, the high school received the federal money. And when you're going to speak against the system or against the war, the principal in the school say, oh no, this one is equal, I speak against the federal government. And it's possible I lost the money. And no easy for open the door. But when I can go inside the high school, I say the boys, very simple, I not say no join to the military, no. Somebody here like the going to the military, okay, good. But be careful, for what? For real vocation or for money for a school or for service your country? What is the real reason why you want to join to the military? And let me explain my son's story. And I explain a little bit what happened to my son, what is my son told me about the discrimination, etc., about the money for school. And I explain my visit in Iraq, and I put the pictures and movie from Iraq war. When I finish, the more students, the eyes is open, no speak. When I say somebody have a question, everybody's in the shock. Nobody say nothing. And the teacher told me the next day, everybody say, oh, I reaction is begin. Today I have about the 2,000 letters from the different high school around the country and say, thank you, you changed my life. You saved my life. I have idea to join to the military, but when you come in my school, I change the idea. I'm no more in military. Now I am in the college, now I am in the university. I think so the people, the young people, need see the other side, the real situation in the military. It's not easy. I lost 2 jobs. I have the regular job is the catcher in 7-Eleven in California and deliver newspaper in the morning. When it happened my son, I lost my job because I begin in the peace activity and I don't have time for the go to the job. And my wife told me, okay, what's happened now? You don't have a job. We need the money for pay the rent, for pay the insurance, etc. And my wife say, I'm going to work in for support your activity. But the organization, the project Guerrero Azteca, is the 501c organization, and we receive donation every day for the different people. And this one helped me a little bit for survivor in my regular expenses. But more important, we receive donation for continuing traveling around the country and visiting different cities at different high schools.
You can learn more about Fernando Suarez and his work at GuerreroAzteca.org. That's www.GuerreroAzteca.org. For more information about our military families, check out Military Families Speak Out, www.mfso.org. And if you would like to have Fernando Suarez or Lila Lipscomb or other family members of our soldiers talk to your group, contact Gold Star Families for Peace at www.gsfp.org. To read about the efforts of Marine Corps families to support one another, go to marineparents.com, marineparents.com. For some more very interesting interviews, check out Chicago Public Radio's World View at www.chicagopublicradio.org/programs/worldview. We heard Traveling Soldier, the Dixie Chicks, American Tune, Eva Cassidy, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Avril Lavigne, Ooh Child, Beth Orton, and Can't Find My Way Home, Alison Krauss. If you want to share this program with friends or hear other programs about the war, go to the Action section of the Iraq Project at iraqproject.org. That's www.iraqproject.org, where you can download MP3 files to your computer. This is WBCR-LP, 97.7 FM, Great Barrington, Massachusetts. This is Mickey Friedman, and this is The Other Side.